Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellman, in for Steve Kerwood. Call it global warming gridlock. Finally, an historic bill to reduce the greenhouse gases causing global climate change reached the floor of the U.S. Senate, only to fall victim to another form of hot air, the filibuster. Our Washington correspondent, Jeff Young, watched it go down. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Bruce.
The heart of this bill, as I understand it, was the cap-and-trade approach. Right?
That's right. Cap and trade, in a nutshell, is you set an overall limit on emissions. That's your cap. Then you let companies buy and sell emissions credits, and that's the trade. The goal here was cutting greenhouse gases by about 65% by the middle of the century.
And the bill was proposed by Senators Joe Lieberman and Republican John Warner.
That's right. So you had a Republican, Warner, an independent, Lieberman, and the Democratic leadership behind this. However, it faced very tough opposition. And even if it did pass, President Bush said he'd veto it. So there weren't a lot of people expecting this to become law. However, we did expect to at least hear a serious, substantial debate on this. Instead, we heard this.
A report describing the assistance provided under this section by the board during the preceding calendar year, including...
Jeff, what's that?
That's one of the clerks of the Senate reading the bill word for word. Republican leader Senator Mitch McConnell ignored the normal protocol and insisted that the whole bill be read aloud, all 490 or so pages of it.
Oh, the poor clerk. How long did that take, Jeff?
About 9 hours. Yeah, we were passing the hat here to buy the poor clerk some throat lozenges, but seriously, this was a form of obstruction by the Republican leaders in the Senate that filibustered the bill. Democrats did not have the votes to break the filibuster, and Democrats who supported it were understandably pretty upset. Here's John Kerry of Massachusetts.
This deserves a better debate. And it's really sad that the world's greatest deliberative body has been reduced to tricks and gimmicks and parliamentary games rather than an honest debate on the future of our country and the future of this issue.
Jeff, what did Republican leaders say was the reason for blocking this?
Well, they disagreed with Democrats on how to proceed with debate. There was even a completely unrelated fight about judges. But yeah, bottom line here, Senator McConnell, the Republican leader, opposes a mandatory cap on greenhouse gases. And he and other Republicans, they just kept hammering the Democrats on one point, energy costs.
We're amazed that they're calling this bill up at this particular time. I mean, it's a stunning thing to behold. With gas prices being the number one issue in America, they bring up a bill that objective analysis concludes is going to raise gas taxes 53 cents.
53 cents? Jeff, is that true that this bill would raise gas prices another 53 cents a gallon?
There are economic models that predict that, but what Senator McConnell conveniently leaves out is the time frame for that prediction. It's a 53-cent increase by the year 2030. So that breaks down to about 2 cents a gallon a year.
Well, it's gone up a buck just in the past few months.
That's exactly the pushback from the Democrats who favor this bill. They say, look, this bill is going to invest more in fuel-efficient cars and alternative fuels, so in the long run, we're going to end up using less oil.
I'm a little confused here, Jeff, because John McCain, the Republican nominee for president, he supports this idea of using cap-and-trade, right?
Well, he had not endorsed this bill just yet, but McCain is a very strong supporter of this kind of action on global warming, yes.
So wouldn't you have had Republicans against Republicans on this issue?
Indeed you would have. And I asked McConnell about that.
Well, I think Senator McCain can speak for himself. We're here to speak for us.
And so here I think we're getting to the real reason that debate was cut short. This is very divisive for Republicans. It's also divisive for some Democrats. You got a lot of coal state Democrats who would really prefer this just kind of go away. So on the surface, you had this partisan bickering. But if you look just a little deeper, you see, oh, wait a minute, this really isn't about which party they're from. It's about which state they're from.
Well, give me some examples of that, Jeff.
I spoke with Kent Conrad. He's a Democrat from North Dakota. There's a state with a lot of coal, oil, gas. He opposed the bill, but he was looking forward to the debate to see, you know, what kind of global warming action can he support? Because, you know, everybody knows this is going to be back next year. All the presidential candidates pledged to act on this. And Conrad used a baseball metaphor.
This is a time to test out ideas. It's a time to negotiate, to talk about things that are needed to improve this approach. So I see this as spring training for next year. But spring training is important.
Can I carry your spring training analogy a step further? Next year, come the real season, are you on the roster?
I never negotiate in public.
What about the Republicans? Not the leadership, but the rank and file members. Where are they on this?
You know, it's very interesting. There's a lot of change afoot. I got some time with Senator Bob Corker, Republican from Tennessee. You know, we just heard earlier the Republican leader, McConnell, saying, oh, you can't talk about this when gas prices are so high. Well, here's how Corker sees it.
A lot of my colleagues would say that this is the wrong time to be talking about legislation of this type because gasoline's at $4 a gallon. I think this is a perfect time to be talking about it.
Doesn't sound like he's towing the party line there, Jeff.
Not at all. But, you know, sadly, we're not going to hear the kind of debate that senators like Corker and Conrad wanted to have on important matters. You know, what do you do about coal? How about nuclear power? How do you deal with competition from China? Things like that.
So, Jeff, is that it for climate change in Congress this year, you think?
That's probably it for the Senate, but things are just getting cooking over in the House. Democrat Ed Markey of Massachusetts has introduced a very aggressive climate change bill. It's a challenge to other House Democrats to get moving on this. We'll have hearings later this month in the House on climate change, and we'll see what happens.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Bruce.
Living on Earth's Washington correspondent, Jeff Young.